Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up outside Washington, D.C., and earned a bachelor's degree in biology from Virginia Tech and an MD from Georgetown University School of Medicine. In 1978, she joined the Army as a medical student to cover her tuition and served for 29 years as a doctor and surgeon. And in 2002, she joined the Little Workers of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary as a nun. Affectionately known as the Nun with the Gun, her name, Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne, and I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne, a surgeon, a retired Army colonel, a missionary, and a nun. Sister, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you for having me.
Can we start by you offering us an opening prayer this evening?
Sure. We live each moment in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, inspire me. Love of God, consume me. To the true path, lead me. Mary, my mother, look down upon me with Jesus. Bless me from all evil, from all illusions, from all danger. Preserve me. Amen.
That was fantastic, Sister. What if we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure. Well, I'm one of eight kids. Grew up in McLean, Virginia. My youngest brother is actually a Catholic priest as well. Mm. And mom was blessedly a stay-at-home mom. Dad was a thoracic surgeon who worked at a local hospital, Fairfax Hospital. He also worked at other hospitals, including going to Georgetown and Virginia Hospital Center. He was always working, but when he was home, he loved being at home with us. We both, mom and dad, were daily mass goers, so I can't help but think that we were all blessed by both of them coming home with our Lord within the Blessed Sacrament, and coming home and having the reaping the benefits of the Holy Eucharist with each one of us. So I have five brothers, and I'm one of three girls, and all my siblings are married. As I said, my youngest brother is a priest. He's going to be the bishop. Father Bill Byrne will soon be the bishop in Springfield, Massachusetts. So I ask for everyone to pray for him. And the rest of my siblings are doing very well day by day. Thanks be to God.
Sister, what's the biggest thing you learned from mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Well, that's a tough one because there's so many things I learned from the two of them. But as far as being a married couple, and I think the example they had for each of the siblings that are married, they worked as a team together and they prayed together. They worked as a team. I never ever saw them arguing. The greatest gift that I got from both of them was their faith. They passed on to me. As I said, they both went to Mass every day, and that had a real big impact for me personally. And dad loved his work. He was a thoracic surgeon, so he made medicine and specifically surgery look like a lot of fun. Mom was very nurturing. And I think the gift I learned from my mother was her joy, humor. She's a first generation Irish. She never really took things too seriously. She did love her faith and wanted us all to be faith-filled. But, I think other than her faith and her joy, those are the main things. My father, he loved his faith more than anything.
All right, let's go back to 1978. You're a medical school student at Georgetown, and you decide to join the Army. Why?
Well, I wish I could say to save the world, but it was a little bit more of a selfish reason. There were about five of us in the university level at the time, and I heard free tuition, and Georgetown in those days were about 8,000. It's much, much more now. But so I joined initially to help pay for the cost of tuition, which was completely free, and I just would serve. But boy, did I fall in love with that decision and taking care of the soldiers. So that's the main reason why.
You've served the people of Afghanistan, Haiti, Sudan, Kenya, Iraq. What was the biggest thing you learned from those people in those countries, sister?
Many of these people have really nothing but their family and their faith. And their gratitude. Every little thing that I did for them, they were so grateful for. And they knew I was coming to serve. And I always tried to tell them I was here as an emissary of Jesus to help bring, you know, healing to them as best I could. So their love of their faith, their family, and their desire not to need as many things as we seem to be needing here in the United States.
In the 15 years that I've been blessed to have this show, whenever I've had somebody that's worked with the very poor people of the world, they always say that they've learned much more from the poor than they ever did from the rich. Why is that?
Well, that's a good question. People who are poor are, you know, we're doing things for them and we don't expect anything in return. So the gratitude that they show because of what we can help them with is so, for me, so heartwarming. And so I guess it's because we don't expect anything in return but what we receive from them is so much more than I would ever expect. I have to say, I've taken care of people who are well-to-do, and most of them who come to me because they know that I love Jesus and they want to come to me for certain problems or they call me. So there's a certain humility with that too, because they can go to any private doctor. But when it comes to maybe a heart-to-heart discussion about faith, they're very, very open-hearted that way too. But the poor, it comes naturally. I think it's because they just don't have as much, and so they can see more clearly the eyes of Christ or their faith because there's not a lot of obstacles in their way.
We're talking to Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne. When we come back, we're going to ask her about the job our young heroes did for us in Afghanistan and Egypt. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne. She served 29 years in the Army as a doctor and surgeon. Sister, tell us about the job our young heroes did for us in Afghanistan and Egypt.
The young heroes in Afghanistan and Egypt, and they're doing this already right now, they are out there separated from their families in very harsh conditions, always within the thought that perhaps they could be ambushed or they could stand on walk on a landmine or their truck could run on a landmine. So military soldiers have a special vocation above and beyond anyone that I can imagine, except police officers. Mm-hmm. They have a similar vocation that is that they have totally given their whole life to serving we the people here in the United States. Even if some of us, of the Americans don't appreciate that, they don't. That's not their modus for doing it. It's because they love their country above and beyond. And families sacrifice a lot. So when there's a soldier out in the mountains, you know, I learned this for the Afghani especially, when they're weeding out the bad people that could harm us, there's a spouse on the other end with children waiting for them to get home and always praying that they make it home safely. So it's a real team effort.
Speaking of harsh conditions, what's it like performing a surgery in Afghanistan?
Well, Afghanistan wasn't so bad because I was a military soldier, so we had everything we needed. But the harsh conditions were really in the mountains of Sudan, where we really had everything I brought with me, I seemed to use. And I would bring a Foley catheter and have to use it as a chest tube. Or if I had because I was the only surgeon at the time there, I was covering for a real hero, Tom Katina, who is there now. He's married to a Sudanese. Tom was actually a naval. He went to he studied in the Navy and worked as a Navy officer, a family doctor then. But if I brought a central line kit, for example, and in these kits, they have little wires, I would end up using everything. So if I had a patient who had a broken jaw, I ended up using the central line kit wire to help wire the jaw. So we would have to think out of the box with that. And the climate there was very harsh. We also had the North Sudanese who would be bombing the village people on Sunday. So we would get a lot of penetrating trauma. So I would say Sudan was one of the most challenging areas and rewarding to work.
We're talking to Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne. She's affectionately known as Sister Dee Dee and the nun with the gun. Talk to us, Sister, about our wounded veterans.
Well, they are the heroes, the real heroes who have given up or sacrificed their livelihood and their lives to, they don't sleep at night so that we can sleep at night. And some of them have come back either with post-traumatic stress disorder or with some trauma to the eyes, the limbs. And that will be with them for the rest of their lives. And so they deserve ongoing care. And it's a reminder every day about their sacrifice for us.
Let's go back to June of 1997. You're in Washington, D.C., and a 4'11" woman comes from India, Mother Teresa, to receive the Congressional Gold Medal. And you spend that week with her. What was that week like?
Well, it was really surreal because she was one of my heroes when I was a high school student. And I always felt that if given the opportunity to go to medical school, that I would be his spouse and I would do free surgery for the poor, which I do now. Because Mother Teresa made a fourth vow. You know, we make poverty, chastity, and obedience. And Mother Teresa's community, the Mission of Charity, make a fourth vow of free loving care for the poor. So as a lay person, a young high school kid, I made a promise that if given the chance to study medicine, that I would make a free vow of free health care for the poor. And at that time, it was family medicine. Now it's general surgery. So it was a surreal experience of meeting my high school hero, and now a saint.
Yes. She's famous for a lot of quotes. I'm a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who's sending a love letter to the world. But another one was, joy is the net that catches souls. And today, Sister, with the animosity, the hatred, especially there in Washington, D.C., talk to us about joy is the net that catches souls.
Well, I'm gonna quote another person here. My youngest brother, who's hilarious. I hope you have him on the radio sometime. He's known as the YouTube priest, but he used to ask people, "What do you call grumbly Catholics?" They're called Protestant makers. So we have to practice what we're preaching, which is joy. And Bishop Strickland used to say, I love him. He said, if I'm the nun with the gun, the weapon is the rosary. And Bishop Strickland from Tyler, Texas, would say that the rosary is the weapon of love. So in the abortion issue, we're not going to overturn Roe v. Wade and end abortion by through the legislature. I think we're going to do it one person at a time, helping to teach them that life begins at the moment of conception, and that we have to show them that we love them in spite of the what they want to do. We have to reach out to them with love, as Mother Teresa has said, and Bishop Strickland and Father Bill.
All right. In 2000, you discern that you should become a nun. Tell us about that experience.
Well, my discernment, my mother always says, was in utero. She'd always said I was going to go into the religious life. It was really a question of Lord, to whom shall I go? And it was through some experiences that I met the Little Workers of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary, this community that I'm with now. But I tell people that, you know, God works best through us when we're totally empty of our own self-will. So when I was in North Kenya, praying, working in the hot, terrible area of Kakuma, I at that point I said, "Okay, Lord," because I was in my early 40s. I said, "Lord, I'm all yours." I was totally empty of all my plans had kind of fallen to the wayside. I said, "If you really want me to go into religious life, Lord, you're going to help me find the right community. Otherwise, I'll just be a lay missionary, which is okay, also." It was after I made that prayer that I met the Little Workers, who were an Italian community. I thought only school teachers, but no, they were also, they also do other things. You know, we run rehabs. I'm a physician. We have nurses. Predominantly we're school teachers, but we do other things too.
We're talking to Sister Dee Dee Byrne. When we come back, we're going to ask her about the Little Workers of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WGR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne. She's worn three uniforms in her life: a surgeon's scrubs, a soldier's camouflage, and now a sister's habit. And then she joined the Sisters of the Little Workers of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary. And I quote you now, sister: "Humility is the foundation of my order." Please.
So thanks. You know, Monsignor Francesco Maria Greco was our founder, and we have a foundress, Maria Teresa de Vincenti. They founded the community in 1894. He was beatified in 2016 by Pope Francis because he was a witness of total sacrifice as a parish priest and humility. And it's really, I think, humility that allows us to be the Lord to work through us more easily. And the proud will be knocked down, and those who are humbled will be elevated. And really not trying to be elevated in this world. It's really eternity that we're working with. So our community has a charism of putting everyone through the heart of Jesus, between the heart of Jesus and Mary. And how do we do that? We do that through prayer and through action. We catechize, we teach the faith. And I can explain that a little bit more later if you want. But I, as a doctor, how would I teach the faith? I do that through sort of walking with patients who may be cohabitating, or through contracepting, which is against the teachings of the church. And I explain to them that that's not good for their soul. So I'm a physician for their body and for their soul.
I quote you again: "My vocation is a healing ministry, and God is the healer, and I just try to stay out of his way." Please.
Boy, that's so true. When I first joined the community, there wasn't a medical presence here in Washington, D.C. Now our Mother General from Rome has called our house the medical house. And we have unfolded before our eyes a very active physical therapy clinic, at Diabetic Eye Clinic with an incredible group of volunteer practitioners, highly skilled practitioners. If I tried to sit down and plan this, it would have fallen apart. But you could just see how the Lord has allowed everything to unfold. All our equipment has been donated or fundraised. A young med student fundraised. We are our clinic here in DC. Experience or connection with GW School of Physical Therapy and Georgetown School of Medicine. So we have young students who come here, and they see love and action in caring for the poor. So I believe that if we can just stay, as I said before, totally empty of our own will and allow God to work through us, I found that that is where his action works best.
We're talking to Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne, and in 2000, she joined the Little Workers of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary as a nun. Sister, when I was about a week old on the south side of Chicago, I had an aunt that dedicated me to the Blessed Virgin. And I give her an awful lot of credit, the Blessed Virgin, for whatever success I've had. Talk to us about the Mother Mary, the Mother of Jesus.
Mary is, for all of us, a great example of how we can best work. Her whole life was a fiat to Jesus. She was humility incarnate, love incarnate. Everything she did was, as in the wedding feast of Cana, do whatever he tells you. And that's what we have to be, use her as our role model and our example. But she's also more than that. She's our intercessor. And I believe that, as I mentioned, the nun with the gun is the rosary. It's through our Blessed Mother that she's going to heal many wounds that's going on in our country right now, the division. But most importantly, she is going to help to end the slaughter of her youngest and most innocent, and that is the unborn.
When I talk to non-Catholic friends who are very Christ-centered and pray, you know, and very devoted, and I try to tell them to pray to the Blessed Virgin for her to intercede, they can't fathom that, sister. You know, well, Jack, nowhere in the Bible does it say we should pray to her. Why should we pray to her to intercede for us?
Well, what I try to do is explain to my Protestant brothers and sisters that, do you ask your friends to pray for you? Do you ask, if you're going to do something very special, or you're getting on the plane to fly somewhere, if you were going to go in harm's way, would you ask your friends, your congregation, to pray for you? And these are our sinners on earth. Then I say that, I ask them about their own mother and how much we love our own mother. Then we go to the most ultimate of love, which is Jesus. And Jesus actually had a mother. And do you think that if Jesus loved his mother and we love Jesus, wouldn't we love her as much? So if we ask for intercessory prayer from our friends, why wouldn't we ask for intercessory prayer from the saints? And the queen of all saints is Jesus' mother.
The way I try to explain it also, sister, is no son can say no to their mom. Jesus cannot say no to her mom. So we got billions of people, pleading to Jesus, help me, help me. She goes right to the front of the line and says, Jesus, here's what Sister Dee Dee needs. Mom, consider it done, right? She goes right to the front of the line. So, okay, you took your final vows in 2011, and let's go back 3 months. August 26th, 2020, you gave a four-minute speech during the third night of the Republican National Convention. What was the basic message, sister?
Can I go back a little bit about how I ended up there?
Sure.
Okay. Again, it was emptying myself. I had been very distraught about what was happening in our country and specifically what was going to happen with the whole abortion issue. And so I prayed to our Lord, and in before the Most Blessed Sacrament, that's where I try to do all my fervent prayers before Him in the Eucharist, and said, Lord, use me any way you want. Use me to be your voice for the unborn. And then I received a phone call from the White House 2 hours later asking would I speak at the RNC. And I said, well, I just prayed to God to use me in any way. And I know we're not supposed to really be in a political environment, but I figured since there was a priest and a sister at the Democratic Convention, I thought, well, we should try to balance this out anyhow so that many Catholics can see that there's many ways to look at different issues. So I asked, could I speak on the unborn and the sanctity of life? And also just to thank President Trump, since it was in the RNC, for what he has done for the life issue. And they said, absolutely. So the theme of the whole talk was the sanctity of life. All life is precious from the womb to the tomb. And that I'm not only a pro-life, but I'm pro-eternal life. And I want my mission in life is to try to keep myself in the state of grace through Eucharist and confession. And I want to bring everyone with me as much as I can. But that doesn't mean everybody, the floodgates of heaven are open, because certainly there's a doorway to pathway to hell as well. So we have to be humble preachers of the faith, catechists of the faith, like our community is, and to try to bring everyone, to try to encourage everyone that there is an eternal life. It's not just this world on earth, but there's something far greater. But we have to take care of the most vulnerable, which is the unborn.
We're talking to Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne. If you want to learn more, www.lwshp, as in Peter, T, clinic.com. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to Sister Dee Dee Byrne, the nun with the gun. She has one of the most unique and amazing resumes I've ever encountered. Sister, you say it, but you know, as a physician, I can say without hesitation, life begins at conception. How do you know that?
Well, I went to medical school, and that's where I learned it, for one thing. In 300 BC, that's not when I went to med school, but 300 BC, the Hippocratic Oath was created by many people. But in that oath, physicians swore not to procure an abortion. That oath, and along with other things that we would do for the sanctity of life and caring for our patient, not keeping private the patient-doctor relationship. And that was carried on all through the centuries. And then around the 50s and 60s, during the sexual revolution and contraceptive issues and abortion, that was taken out of many medical schools, including Georgetown. I still made a personal vow not to ever, end the life of a child. So Even Hippocrates knew that 300 BC, that life was precious within the child in the womb. And you know, at that moment between when the egg and the sperm unite, that's 23 chromosomes unite to make 46, which is by definition a human. It's a human at a very early stage, but it is in our Catholic faith, Christian faith, you know, a soul is created. Our Lord has created us in his image and his likeness, and he loves us very much. And so even at the most early stage, we are human by definition, scientifically and spiritually.
We're talking to Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne. If you want to learn more, littleworkersofthesacredhearts.org. Sister, you're now serving the poor in Washington, D.C. Describe for us a typical day in the life of Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne.
We get up about a little bit before 6. I get up a little bit early. We have a meditation from half an hour of meditation, which starts about 6:30. And then we have Mass. In our convent, we're blessed to have the traditional Latin Mass because we have a priest from Hong Kong. So we have meditation 6:30, Mass at 7. And then we expose the Most Blessed Sacrament and we pray our morning prayer and a rosary for the next hour. And then we go and have breakfast, and then we all have different missions. We have one sister who's here studying to be a nurse at Catholic U. I'll go to the clinic on Tuesdays and Fridays, where I see a variety of number of patients who are uninsured through the Catholic Charities Clinic. I'm a volunteer there, and I determine whether they need surgery in the operating room or minor surgery or no surgery at all. I try to get home to pray with the sisters at 1, and then we expose the Blessed Sacrament again during this prayer. This is noon prayer. We pray a rosary again, and then we do Divine Mercy. And then we have some elderly sisters, they go to rest, and I go and do what I need to do, either because I'm the superior of the house, so all sorts of activities regarding to the house. On Wednesdays, I do general surgery at Sibley Hospital, so I'm usually gone a good part of the day there. And then we have adoration again. We expose the Blessed Sacrament for the third time. And there we pray evening prayer, and we have our rosary for the third time. We can't stop asking the Blessed Mother for enough help. And then we go and have dinner, a little community time, and then we have our bedtime about 8:30 to 9, and we're in holy silence till the next day. So that's our cycle.
What have these patients taught you these last 10 years, Sister?
These patients are mainly Central Americans, Mexicans, some Africans, who go through such a struggle. But these are the working poor who can slip through the cracks because they don't have a U.S. connection, so half of them are undocumented. And still with that, they've taught me hard work ethics, faith, and some of them are, like I said, they've got a very close-knit family. Those who are not really living, they're cohabitating, I can sit down and talk to them. I try to do it without throwing the rosary at them, but I'll tell them that I'll write a prescription for them to go to confession if they're Catholic, to come back, try to get their marriage, their life straight with marriage or whatnot. But they take everything in stride with a lot of humor. So they're very strong people. They've endured a lot, and yet they have a deep faith in Christ. So they've taught me endurance. They've taught me faith and joy.
Speaking of teaching you, we're just ending Thanksgiving weekend. What are you most thankful for, Sister?
I'm thankful that I have a great faith in our Lord, and I'm thankful for my Catholic faith because we have the sacraments. I'm grateful for having the opportunity to be able, even during a large part of the COVID, we were able to have Mass, whether it was on TV or the priest coming to us, so that we have these sacraments, confession, Eucharist. Thankful for the family. I have a great family. I'm one of eight kids, lots of great nieces and nephews. I'm excited and thankful my brother's going to become a bishop, so we have to pray for him, but I'm excited for him and for the religious community that I'm a part of. So I have a whole lot to be thankful. I'd be in the chapel all day for all the gratitude I have for what he's done. So we have to just, there's a lot to pray for though with what's going on in our country, but those are the things I'm thankful for.
Talk to us about God's grace and mercy, please.
We are all sinners, and God knows that. You know, Adam and Eve got that started, but the Lord is so merciful. And as a priest friend of mine used to say, no sin is greater than God's love and mercy. And so if even at that moment of death, we have not been very faith-filled, as he used to say, from the saddle to the ground, mercy is sought and mercy is found. So even at that last breath, we have that opportunity to ask for God's mercy and for his forgiveness. And he will show us, we will all see his loving face at that moment of death. It doesn't matter what our faith is or our lack of faith. He will present himself to us. And we have an opportunity to accept or reject him. If we don't accept his loving face, you know, there goes Gehenna. If we accept him, then will be a time of purification called purgatory, and then we'll all end up eventually saints in heaven for those who have accepted him. So from the saddle to the ground, mercy is sought and mercy is found.
Sister Dr. Deirdre Byrne, thank you much. What a shining example and a fabulous ray of hope for the future of America. Please keep up the great, great work. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.